My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning in the sermon to cover two topics. First of all, the Feast of St. Joachim, and then the Gospel for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. St. Joachim, of course, was the father of our Blessed Mother. And even though we know very little about him, his name is not even mentioned in Scripture, just like St. Anne, the mother of our Blessed Mother, whose feast we celebrated 3 weeks ago, is also not mentioned in Scripture. And yet these two individuals, being the mother and father of the Blessed Virgin Mary herself, must have been extraordinarily good and holy persons. And you might wonder, why is the genealogy of our Lord, as given by St. Matthew, read for the Feast of St. Joachim? Because St. Matthew gives the genealogy of St. Joseph, according to the Jewish custom, rather than of our Blessed Mother. And yet, the genealogy of St. Joseph and of Our Lady was identical down to just really a few generations before our Lord. And so therefore, most of these ancestors would be also those of St. Joachim. But one thing we know from tradition is that our Blessed Mother was presented in the temple at the age of 3. And imagine St. Joachim taking this blessed daughter of his to the temple to give her to God, to present her to the priests in the temple to live there and prepare for her role as being the mother of God. What a sacrifice that was on his part. And thus we see Catholic parents understand that their children are given to them in trust by Almighty God. But ultimately, these children belong to God. And that it is the role of the parents to raise them, to instill virtue into them, to form them and train them so that they can thereby give them back to God as good Catholic adults eventually and eventual saints in heaven. So St. Joachim and St. Anne, good models for us, for our Catholic parents in raising your children. Now, today's gospel for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is probably the most familiar parable of all the parables in the gospel. In fact, it is so well known that even non-Christians use the terminology the Good Samaritan. You'll read it in the news. Someone stops to help someone who has been in an accident or is in need of help. A stranger will stop and help someone, and that person is referred to as a Good Samaritan. And of course, that comes directly from this gospel parable. And this parable gets across the story or the lesson of charity better than if our Lord explained the duty of charity. Notice that this young lawyer asks our Lord, "Who is my neighbor?" Because our Lord gives the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor. So he says, well, who is my neighbor? And our Lord tells this story. And what we notice in this story is the man who was beaten by the robbers and left on the roadside half dead, that this man is encountered by a Levite who passes by and by a priest who passes by. They see him there and they continue on their journey and do nothing. What a culpable violation of the duty of charity to leave this man there to die. But who then should come by but a Samaritan? Now let us remember that there was an enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. And Samaria, geographically, is between Judea, which is the area where Jerusalem is, and then the northern part of Palestine, which was called Galilee. And the Jews lived in Judea, and there were Jewish people who lived in Galilee, such as St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother. But Samaria was in between. And the Jews disliked the Samaritans. They didn't even talk to them, normally speaking, because the Samaritans were idolaters. They had built their own temple in violation of Jewish law. instead of going to the temple in Jerusalem. They had their own temple on Mount Gerizim. And because they were, or they had abandoned, the Jewish religion, the Jews didn't communicate with them, and they disliked them. But who should show charity toward this Jew who had been beaten and left on the roadside but a Samaritan? And that just shows that this man, even though there was again that animosity between these two peoples, nevertheless he saw this man beaten, half dead, and very much in need of help, and he stopped to help him. And not only did he bind up his wounds and put him on his own beast of burden and take him to an inn, but he paid the innkeeper for him and even told him, if you spend anything else, I will pay you when I come back this way. What a lesson for us of our duty of charity. And charity does not wait to be asked. Yes, we may be asked for help, someone in need, and we give help. But notice this ideal of charity is not even waiting to be asked, to see a need and go to meet that need. It so happens that today is also the feast of Saint Roch, spelled R-O-C-H. And Saint Roch is an example of this charity. He lived in the early 14th century and was born in France, and born into a well-to-do family. But when he was 20 years old, he was orphaned. Both of his parents had died, and he gave away his inheritance, his considerable inheritance, and went on a pilgrimage. A very devout young man went on a pilgrimage to Rome, but on the way to Rome, he came into a city where the plague was present, and many people were suffering and diseased and dying. And he was struck by the need. So instead of continuing on his journey, he stayed there and helped the plague-stricken and spent some months, maybe a year, in the city. And then he went on his journey and came across another city. And of course, the Black Plague in the early 1300s was devastating, especially in southern Europe. And he kept doing this. He would go to a city, and he was so virtuous, he even worked miracles and cured people, but took care of the people. And finally, he himself contracted the plague, but he didn't want to be a burden on anyone else. So he literally dragged himself to a hut in the woods and stayed there, and would have died had not he been found by a peasant who came by and then took care of him, and eventually went back to France and died. But he was a martyr of charity. He saw a need and then gave everything, his time, his labors, whatever he had, to help those in need. So let us remember that when we think of the wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan, to not just wait to be asked, but when we see a need, to go and meet that need. And remember this also, that when we speak of the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, let us remember that the charity we practice for our neighbor is done for the love of God. And that's what makes it charity, and that's what makes it deserving of reward, because it is done for the love of God. May we all be good Samaritans. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.